Christian greetings to each one this morning. My testimony is I am so thankful to be a part of a church that is led by the Spirit of God, and it's so evident. The response of young people among us, the evidence through the service thus far this morning that God's Spirit has been working in hearts as men have prepared to share devotions and lead out in Sunday school. And thank you, Jalen, for the songs, many inspirational thoughts and commitments that we sang this morning that just fit together with what God has laid in my heart for a message. I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. I'd like to look at a familiar account, the account where we find Paul before King Agrippa, and Paul gives his testimony, has an opportunity to share about his life. And I'm going to spend time in this chapter this morning and pull my thoughts for this message from this chapter. So I'd like to read the entire chapter just to get the story and the scope of this fresh in our minds again. Acts chapter 26 and verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech ye to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest set of our religion, I lived a Pharisee, I now stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and to witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto, of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I sent thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to great, to small, and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should raise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Very interesting account of the life of Paul and what happened and the testimony of Paul. The title of the message this morning is, Almost Thou Persuadest Me. King Agrippa's response was, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Let me read you another story that I read recently, and it spoke to me and was somewhat the inspiration of this message this morning. It's called The Fringe of Religion. Columbus discovered America in 1492, but he never touched more than the shore of this great continent. When he died in the spring of 1506, he did not have the faintest idea of the magnitude of his discovery. He never dreamed that beyond the shore that his feet had walked, there was a rich country, rich in natural resources, rich in the vastness of its acres, rich in the future freedom and opportunity for the millions who would one day call his discovery their home. In a way, this was the tragedy of his life. He never touched more than the fringe of the continent. He failed to go a little further than where he had come in. Can we see the similarity between Columbus and some Christians, or maybe us as church members? There are people, I believe, that, yes, they are members of the church. Oftentimes have been and have belonged for years. They have been in the church. But there are people who give very little, I would say, evidence of Christian living. Maybe cold, apathetic towards the things which Christian people should be vitally interested in. The writer went on to say, their religion does not in any way seem to be enriched. Their religion does not in any way seem to have enriched their lives. And why not? Perhaps the truest answer lieth in this. Like Columbus, they have never gone beyond the fringe. The fringe of religion, they have never ventured inland where peace and rest and security are at its richest. They have never gone any further in Christian knowledge and Christian living than where they were when they discovered the church and became a member of it. It's a sobering thought to think that there are people who experience that, who come so close like Columbus did. He came, he discovered the land, he set his feet on the edge of it, But what was beyond, he never discovered. This morning, is there a possibility that we are almost experiencing? We are almost. I trust this morning that I'm not talking to a people that is almost persuaded. But I like to think about Paul's story this morning, and I love Paul's testimony so much because as I read this, there's just a number of things that stood out to me that were the evidence that Paul was a man who was not just almost, and he admitted that himself. He said, I wish you were like me, and not just almost persuaded, but that you were where I am, except the bonds that he was experiencing. And so for the next few moments this morning, as you think about that, I have about 9 points I'd like to make from this that are evidence that we are all together persuaded. And I believe evidence of actually getting in and experiencing the richness of what God would have us experience in the Christian life. Number one, the first thing I see is that when we are eager to share the good news with others, notice what Paul said in verse 2. He was set before King Agrippa. But Paul said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day, touching the things whereof I am accused. And he goes right in and he starts talking about his life and what happened. And he gives us this story. And the climax of his story and the climax of what he wanted to tell the people and the story that he has is in verse 18. He says to open their eyes. It's the gospel story. It's the story of Jesus Christ and what he done for us. And Paul said, I'm just happy to share this. I believe Paul realized back in Romans chapter 1, Paul made this comment. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's evident from Paul's life that this gospel had really gripped him. And when he had this experience on the Damascus way here, God done a wonderful work in his heart, and Paul allowed that work to be done. And he realized that this was the thing that changed me can change others as well. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed to share that gospel. And when he came before King Agrippa, he was right ready to share. And he said, I think myself happy. Another verse that came to my mind is in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. I believe it says where we have that heavenly scene. And it says they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I should look at that. Just there's another part in there that I want. That's they overcame him by the. Yeah, I have that. It's verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This is the part I was forgetting. And they loved not their lives unto death. There's three things there. We overcome, and we get into experiencing the true joy of the Christian life when we, yes, first of all, we must overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It must be the work of Jesus Christ in each of our heart. But he says, by the word of their testimony, it's by sharing what happened. And that's what Paul realized in Acts, in the opportunity he took as he sat before King Agrippa. He realized that here was an opportunity to share. And Paul was not careful for his life. It didn't matter to Paul anymore what was going to happen to his life. He was going to live for God regardless of what. And as he sat before the authorities here, he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what the turnout of this was going to be. But Paul was not worried about that. And so this morning, I believe one of the evidences that we are convinced is that we're ready to share the gospel message. And I know that many of you do. But I'd just like to encourage us to keep on sharing the word of God and speaking about the things of God. Some time ago, we were at the homeless shelter, and gave supper to the folks there at the homeless shelter. And after supper, I was starting to help clean up there in the kitchen a little bit, and all of a sudden I realized that one of the brethren that was with me was starting to share with the men back there the gospel story, talking about Jesus Christ and what Jesus did. And I was so blessed by that. I was so challenged by that. I thought to myself, well, here I am. I'm the leader. I'm the preacher. I'm along here. And I should have been the one that thought about starting to share. And instead, I started cleaning up the tables. But keep it up, brothers, and keep it up, sisters. Wherever you have a word to speak for God, God expects us to do that. And it's an evidence of the things that are in our hearts and in our lives. And so let's share the good news as we have opportunity. Secondly, the second thing I see is an openness of one's life to all men. Notice that Paul went right in talking about what happened and where he was. In verse 4 he says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was from the first among mine own nation." And he talks about the things that he had done down through the next number of verses. He says, this was what the way I lived, and I thought I was living right. And he exposed himself. He laid it all out. He said, this was me. This is what I was guilty of. This is what I done. But I'm a changed man. And he just opened up his life. This morning, our willingness to open up our life and confess our needs, confess our past, confess the sins that we were involved in, confessing our faults one to another, I believe is an indication of the fact that we are altogether persuaded. It's so necessary. In fact, Jesus talked about the fact that the things that are done in the corners, the things that are done in secret, he said, they're going to be revealed on the housetop sometime. And so, friends, this morning, it's no use we try to hide the past. It's no use we try to deny the past. It's no use we try to cover our faults and not open up to each one. Because someday it's not going to be in secret. It's going to come out. It's going to be declared. It's going to be proclaimed, I believe, was the words that Jesus used upon the housetops. And so let's take the opportunity today to say, this is my weakness. This is where I fail. This is my shortcomings. And what better place to do that than among the brotherhood and in church life and seek each other's encouragement and advice from each other. That's what Paul done. His life was open. There was nothing hid. He was ready to share. This is what I was, and this is what I am, and this is where I plan to go. It's what Paul was saying. Thirdly, I believe that a willingness to let God work in our lives is another evidence that we are persuaded that the Christian life is worth the living. And we're getting into it. Notice in verse 13, he says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me." And he goes right into saying what happened. But in verse 19, he says, then he tells us what happened. And then he says, "Whereupon, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Paul allowed the work of God to take root in his heart, and it made him a changed man. Yes, it was a dramatic experience. We don't all get struck down and God gets our attention with blindness and puts us to that place. But God has ways to work with us, and the Spirit works with us. And it's well for us this morning to just be willing to let God take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, like the songwriter says. Willingness to let God work in our life, I believe, is an evidence that we are persuaded that the Christian life is worth living. There are many opportunities, many places God wants to use every one of us, many opportunities that come to our right before us time and again. Let's be willing to do that. That takes me to my fourth point. The fourth thing that I see is responding to the work that God asks us to do. I already touched on verse 19, where he said, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. I let God do his work in my heart. But then in verse 20, he says, that's what I did. The work that God had for me to do, I went ahead with it. He said he went to Damascus, and he went to Jerusalem, and he went throughout the coasts of Judea. He went to the Gentiles, and he told them, he gave them the message of God. He told them that they need to repent. They need to turn to God. They need to do the works meet for repentance. Paul was responding to the work that God has had for him to do. Paul said back in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto me. And what does he say then? Because this is your reasonable service. It's the very thing you can do. I believe this morning that when we are all together persuaded, and I believe this morning that when we are enjoying our Christian life, we're ready to walk into the work that God has for us to do, because we see it as an opportunity to give back for what God has done for us. Just stop for a moment and think about what God has saved you from this morning. God has worked in our lives and has given us so much and has saved us from the eternal consequences of sin. And this morning, responding to the work that God asks us to do is just a small part that we can do. But you know what? It seems so small in ourselves as individuals, but there's a thought that Peter has that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter says this about, it's in the context of church life now, and thinking about getting into church life. And he says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And as I thought about that, and I think about each one of us being a lively stone in the temple of God, yes, each one of us can do certain things. We heard that in the devotions this morning. Every one of us has gifts. But as we blend them together in church life, just think about the power that gives to the work of the church and the structure that God has for the church. And it's a part of this entering into church life and experiencing church life and enjoying church life when we all put ourselves to the work and put ourselves into it. And so let's respond to the work that God has for us to do. Number five, allowing God to help us in the work. Paul said in verse 22 of chapter 26 back in Acts, he said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say. Paul was saying, I allowed God to help me accomplish the work. And he said, the Spirit of God is in me, putting it in my own words now, and I'm not telling you anything different than what the prophets said and that what Moses has said. And so this morning, as we allow God to help us in this work, that means we allow the Holy Spirit to first of all work in our hearts. We learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. We learn to hear the Holy Spirit. And then we learn to do the work that the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Here's the way. Walk in it. Here's what I want you to do, God tells us, and gives us the opportunity to do that. That is allowing God to help us in the work. And God has promised that he will help us in the work. He said, in the day that you stand before kings and judges, don't think about what you're going to say on ahead. The Spirit is going to tell you what to say. And that happens in many, many things in life. You know, we walk into circumstances, we walk into places at times that we have no clue what we're walking into. And all of a sudden there's this opportunity and the Spirit says, hey, say this, do that, do this. And as we listen and we heed, we can be the testimony that God wants us to be in our society, the world that we live into. And so let's be open to the Spirit of God and allowing God to help us in the Word. Number six, speaking God's message in truth and sincerity, or sobriety, he says. Paul says that in verse 25. He says that, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Paul was saying and telling them what happened, and Paul was telling them what they need to do so that they can see the light and experience the Christian life as well. And of course, I believe the Spirit of God was stirring Paul in a way that he was probably coming forth, and they said, "You're mad. You're losing it." No, Paul said, "I'm not mad." He said, "I am just speaking forth the words of truth and soberness." And I'm challenged by that this morning. Let's be a people who speak God's message in truth. We have a Bible. We heard that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. We have the Word of God to look into and can use the message that God has given for us. Let's be faithful in doing that, and doing it in all sincerity, in sobriety, in seriousness. In other words, not just taking things for granted or taking things at face value, but having a desire to dig into the Word of God and be serious about it, I believe is the thought that gives. Speaking God's message in truth and in sincerity. Number seven, I believe another evidence is having a burden that all men would hear God's message. Just feel the burden that Paul has in verse 29 when he tells King Agrippa, after Agrippa made the comment that "almost thou persuadest me," Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were almost and altogether such as I am." Not just almost, Paul was saying, but I want you to be altogether convinced. Paul had a burden that other men would experience the joy that he was experiencing now. He was on this side of his journey, and he was looking back, and he says, "That's where I was, but praise God I'm here. And I want you to be here with me," is what he was saying. And so I say this morning, it's a joy to be a part of a church where the Spirit of God is working and others are coming to the knowledge of the truth. And it should be our burden, each one of us this morning, that all men would hear the gospel message. And that should move us to be a people who is ready to share and talk and takes those opportunities when they come our way. Number eight. Living a life free from condemnation is another evidence. I see this in verse 31. "And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doth nothing worthy of death or bonds." As King Agrippa and the authorities sat there and they heard Paul and they listened to him and they thought about this, they said, "You know what? He's really a man that's innocent." Can people say that of us this morning? Is it evident that we are living a life above condemnation, endeavoring to know we realize this morning that we do fail and we make mistakes, but let's acknowledge those failings and those mistakes, like I was saying, and let's be free from live a life in a way that others, as they observe us, can see that there is a genuine effort being made to rise above the flesh and the things that pulls down in life, living a life free of condemnation. Number nine, and my last point this morning, is willing to suffer loss. I take that from verse 32. I believe another evidence that we are altogether persuaded is when life really doesn't matter to us anymore. I'm talking our physical life anymore. We're here to serve God. We want to serve God. King Agrippa said that this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Well, Paul was acquainted with the laws of the land. And Paul came down to Caesar, I believe, because he knew that's where he should be tried. And he also realized that, you know what, whatever's going to happen in the future, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do what needs to be done. He was willing to suffer loss, his own life, whatever it is. This morning, how much are we willing to give? How much are we willing to give up? How much loss are we willing to take to share the gospel message with others? And get ourselves, get our feet wet, get into the further than just the edge of Christianity and the church life and church life. I like to close this morning with going back to those verses in Ephesians chapter 3. And Keith already read them. But I thought about these verses. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. This is Paul again speaking. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And then he goes down through the verses that Keith read this morning. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. He says your hearts here, but in our hearts by faith, and that we this morning be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know Jesus this morning. To know the love of Christ is what he says. May God bless you in the coming days, this coming week, as you think about the opportunities to witness, as you think about getting yourself wet in the things that God would have us get into, and be convinced, not just almost persuaded, but be convinced that it's altogether worth it. Let's kneel for prayer.